Okay, so Yoel, basically the book is divided into two parts. So we've done Aleph and Bet, and we talked about the fact that there were major machlokot. Is it literal that there's actually locusts, which was Abarbanel and the realism of Gogensi? Is it metaphorical? And then there were machlokot of what timing we are talking about. Are we talking about in the... We spend a long time trying to figure out one midrash. Again, reminder: one midrash thought that Yoel was the son of Shmuel, right? It was the grandson of Shmuel, and we're talking in the period of Shmuel. One play in this in the Gemara, it identifies it with the time of Yehoram ben Achav, which would put it in the middle of Milachim. Another possibility they put it is it's Eliyahu, and that's the drought. Sidon Olam Rabbah suggests that it's the time of Menashe, along with Nachum and Chavakuk. Which would put it towards the end of this opinion. Abarbanel, based on the date, on the order in the book, assuming the order actually is chronological, which is very unlikely, but he thinks that it is. So he thinks that they're the same time as Hoshea, which is again near the end of Milachim. And other Mefarshim thought that that it's not an order. So some say that it's because there's an indication that Beit HaMikdash is standing, so maybe it's the end of the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, or even at the beginning of Bayit Sheni. Right? We went through this dating. We did this a while ago. I don't think we're there, but we went through the dating. But the point is, okay, so then Barak Gimel picks up with what sounds somewhat messianic, but this is going to relate to the question of what we thought was going on earlier. So maybe because most of our guys are still at the tech guests, we'll just read Perek Gimel just so we can say we learned something. So after that, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your son and daughter shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the servants, I will pour my spirit in those days. If you recognize that from the Seder. Very good. So you will, right before the terrible day of God, right? I will set signs in heaven and earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. Hashemesh yafech lachoshech, v'areach lidam lifnei bo yom Adonai agadol v'anarah. The sun shall turn to darkness. The moon shall turn to blood. V'ayakol asher yikrav v'shem Adonai yimalei, ki v'har tzion v'yushalayim tiyeh pleita, kasher amar Adonai v'asridim amar Adonai korei. And anyone who calls in the name of God shall be saved, and there'll be a remnant in Har Zion, as God promised. What? Okay, so let's talk about it. That's just Perek Gimel, okay? So it's a bit
It's an easy Perek to understand.
Yeah, the moon just like...
Yes, the sun will just go out, and the... okay, so when is... First, let's try to talk about when is this talking about. So obviously, many Mepharshim look at this, and they're like, okay, this sounds very... End of days. Therefore, we're going to say end of days. I vote end of days. Right? So many of them.
Oh, it sounds crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a very standard methodological one. So if you want a short list of people who do that, would be Rashi, Rusev, Kara, Radak, Barbanel, Malbim. I'll read you examples. Rashi, Vahaya Achrechen, Latid Lavo, Rikara, Ibn Ezra, Amr Yeshua calls out a nevuah la'atid. Abarbanel. Yeah, like the far off future. However, not everybody agrees, because as we've seen, the more literal you take this, or whatever, even not literal, but the more you think that this indicates something very extreme and is not heavily metaphor. So the more you're going to look for Latid Lavo, and again, that's Rashi, Radak says it as well, right? Kamova, Yabachar, Yamim. However, one second, however, not everyone agrees. Not everyone agrees. So for example, Ibn Ezra quotes in the name of Ramosha Kohain, a very different view. Let me read it to you, one second. Rimosha Kohen Amar, Imkein Lama Acharechein Velo Vahaya Bacharit Hayamim. Why doesn't it say that? Ulai ze navi'ay b'mei Yoshafat. Kein yizachar emek Yoshafat. So he says, well, in Perek Dalet, we haven't gotten there yet, but it's going to mention emek Yoshafat. So he says, maybe this is the time of Yoshafat. V'anevi'im u'b'nei nevi'im ayu rabim. So then what does all this mean? There must have been a lot of prophets. Ki rabim yatsu l'daber im Elisha. How do we know? Because Elisha had a whole yeshiva of prophets, and Eliyahu had a whole yeshiva that met with Elisha and told him that his master was going up to Shemayim. V'avdu levado, v'ovadyahu levado, echbim mehem mea. And Ovadya himself says, I hid 100 prophets from Izebel, which means that this is a time with... Exactly. What? So what exactly would he would he mean here? But now again, so then you have to go through it and figure out, well, what does this all mean? How does this all fit in Yehoshaphat? So again, you're going to have to really the Ibn Ezra doesn't really explain, right? Meaning he doesn't spell out both shita. Like, if you go through the Ibn Ezra, he just doesn't spell it out on each one. But again, if you're going to say that Yehoshaphat did not have the son being whatever, so in that sense, you'd have to figure out how metaphorical he means. What's important though is to try to plug it in and say, okay, well, what is he doing? When is he? Right, so obviously, you can't say it's the time of Yehoshaphat unless you give him an early dating. If you have a later dating, especially, Ray Angel points it out, if you follow his thesis that we developed before, that Yoel is specifically, let's say, the beginning of Bayit Sheni or the end of Bayit Rishon or something like that, but remember, Ray Angel's thesis that he, like Malachi, is prophesying towards the end of prophecy. And that's what Malachi is already saying, is that for now, the age of prophecy is ending, since Zichur Torat Moshe Avdi. If that's the case, he may have been noticing the decline of prophecy in his time, and therefore he's looking forward to some sort of a future moment. Now again, to really figure out what this is going to mean, we're going to have to look more in Perek Dalet, right? But I don't want to do Perek Dalet without... Yeah. All of our guys are at the tech edge. But
why is it that people rely on the Shiva to explain crazy stuff happening? Like, why can't it just be like crazy stuff happening
whatever? So part of it is just, well, because like if you take the time that's in Tanakh, you'd have to say, does it fit the evidence that we have?
I'm saying in Tanakh, yeah, but like for example, right, like we don't know necessarily on the Shiva time. So like what if some crazy stuff happens, like some crazy miraculous stuff happens before the times on the Shiva?
So it could be. I mean, it could be. Of course, that's also going to relate to the question of how much is nature changing in the time of Mashiach. Now, the Ri Mibalagensi adds to this that Vahayach Arichain. What's the Acharei? Sheachrit Arbat Melachim Malcheir Haela. Meaning after the destruction of the four kingdoms. Meaning, it's not just what's the Acharei Kain. To fully understand, you have to figure out what's the after. So the point is, well, if the beginning is talking about this end of these four powers over the course of history, so it's when that's done, then we're entering right, a new era, which is made possible by the destruction of these enemies of godliness in the world or something like that. Now the Abarbanel actually takes from Moshe Cohen. So maybe let's read a little Abarbanel. He says, okay, he goes through all the questions. What does it mean? The sun will go out and all that, right? So he says, Hakavana kolelet minibuazot, he says, Eina ledati kiver Moshe Cohen. It's not like him. Because, but now he explains a little bit what he's thinking. He says, what is he thinking? He says, maybe what it means, according to him, is just like there were a lot of miracles, and the sun going out is like, well, war finished. I know there were battles, and like, I don't know, maybe that's a mashal for, like, the sun will go out, I don't know, the great powers will be extinguished, and will, you know, the what we see in Perek Dalet is the weak will say, I'm strong. Right? So maybe it's like the sun representing power or something like that. And he goes through it and he says, that's not right, right? He just doesn't believe it. But again, according to him, that's what you're going to have to, yeah, he goes really, ouch. The Abarbanel says he has only one way of explaining Rav Moshe HaKohen, and that is, I'm just going to read it. Uvchal omer lecha, she'ein ze ki im miut emuna me'otor Rav Moshe HaKohen, v'anem shechem acharav bepinat bida Mashiach, ad sho'ot shuchu l'salif divrei ha'nevi'im la'achor, v'la'asod ha'otiyot v'atidot she'em agidim divrei ha'nevi'im she'kvar avru. Hello, Yivoshu Midivrehem. Says the only way to say that is if you don't have faith in Mashiach, and therefore what you're trying to do is explain it away as miracles that already happened because you're not comfortable with the idea of miracles in the future. Ki eich yifarshu ma'amar navi, v'yachar chen eshpochet ruchi al kol basar. Because how else are you supposed to explain all these miraculous things? And therefore, dot, v'kamanai midin v'nuah azot, he... So therefore, must be talking about kibbutz galiot and all that. So, I mean, that's really the major problem, is that... Yeah, no, I understand. Meaning, his point is that they're metaphors of wars that we won, and that's sufficient for him. Look, I don't know Rabbi Moshe personally, so I can't tell you, you know, how strong his faith was. I don't know. I mean, this is Rav Moshe ben Jekatila, you know, you want to know. No, I understand. Look, I don't really want to go into Perek Dalet, even though you can't really understand Perek Gimel. So let's leave it as the following, is that most of the Mefarshim assume that what we're about to read, Perek Gimel so far and Perek Dalet even more so, talk Messianic simply because the descriptions are so grand that whether they're metaphorical or literal, it's very hard to say that any period actually had that. Right. I think that's a fair thing to say, yeah. Is that even if you think it's a metaphor, saying like the sun and the moon are going to change and all people are going to have God's spirit poured on them is still a very heavy metaphor for like the time of Yehoshaphat. It's very heavy.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't think the Mefarshim are comfortable with it because they say it just sounds like something radical is going on. Now, right, Angel's addition is that another thing that would push you is that the more you push Yoel later, the more it has to be Mashiach. Because if he is really at the end of the prophetic period, there's like an urgency to talk about the end of days. Because otherwise, no, again, like you see in Malachi, where there is that urgency.
Yeah.
And I think that is an important way to read. Again, that doesn't mean that necessarily the miracles that will happen in Rachel and Ramim are as miraculous as it sounded. They're not mashal. But the point is still that it's something grand. And there is, you can easily read it as, again, with this urgency. Like, I need to say this. And it's going to be amazing, but I got to get this out of my system. We'll see in Perek Dalet what it is, and we'll try to actually put it together when the guys come back from the tech test. So let's just leave it as that, okay?